This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Happy Open Line Thursday, all. We are the Junks coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Being brought in, as usual, by Enter Sandman by Metallica. They were doing that bit live last night at Lane Stadium in Blacksburg. I know Jason's daughter was in attendance for the show.
I saw some clips and some pictures
that you were sending along yesterday. Like a very cool scene down in Blacksburg.
Apparently it was insane, and I feel bad that I didn't go. I should have gone.
Because
it just was just an insane atmosphere, and it must have been so cool for, not that it was, you know, all college kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of people from D.C., from Richmond, from all over the place.
Yeah, all up and down probably the Eastern Seaboard
that went to the concert. But it must have been cool for the college kids who only know Enter Sandman because they hear it over the speakers when the Hokies enter the stadium.
Correct.
But to finally see who actually performs it and to see it live, it must have been so cool. She said it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm, and she knew one song.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I heard they didn't play it till very late, like close to midnight or something, or 11.
I think it was about 11. Yeah.
Was it the closer or no?
Oh, I assume
I would assume that closed the show at Lane Stadium.
She sent me a video of when they were playing it, and you can, I mean, it was just, you could just, it was just all screaming.
Right. It was the entire crowd just singing.
Just jumping.
Along. Yeah, jumping.
Because that's
and
what they're doing.
Along.
They just jump.
Yeah, it was a great scene.
But I feel like I should have been there.
You missed out.
And the reason I didn't go is because I'm going down next week for 5 days for graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like I should go down back to back weeks.
This is the audio from last night.
In Lane Stadium last night. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Yeah, and the Hokies did it right. Like they've really obviously embraced Metallica, the song, what it means to the football program.
I mean, that must have been sick.
There was videos and pics of the band coming in to meet Coach Pry and I guess a lot of the coaching staff, and they had personalized Hokies jerseys for each member of the band.
That's the first time any of those members of Metallica have ever been to Blacksburg.
Right.
And they've been playing that song for 30 years.
Right, because I mean
they've never been to that city.
When they're doing like their touring schedule,
yeah.
I mean, Blacksburg.
They're not going to Blacksburg.
It's just not a common stop.
Of course,
you know, because like if you're going to do this region of the country, you usually do either D.C., Baltimore, and you get further. I mean, you might hit like Virginia Beach. I know there's a big amphitheater there. Like Blacksburg's just not one of those.
No, it's not in the rotation.
It's not a big market. Like it's
correct.
But it obviously works because of the connection that song has
with the school,
with Virginia Tech and the football program.
I would love to hear those guys like off the record,
right?
What they felt about the crowd and the atmosphere. It must have been unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm sure that they were jacked to do it in front of.
And I wonder what they expected. You know what I mean? I wonder what they expected.
Yeah.
You would ask them off the record. You would say off the record. I think they would tell you without off the record.
You know what I mean.
And they probably, I mean, I'm just guessing, they probably sold a billion t-shirts mm-hmm. because I saw some of the, like sometimes for tour stops, bands will do like personalized just for that one gig. And I saw some of the art that they were showing inside the stadium was like a big skeleton wearing a hokey outfit, carrying a football, running around outside of Lane Stadium. Like, how many of those t-shirts do they sell for 45 or 50 bucks a pop at the event?
Yeah.
You know, like they're just killing it, I'm sure.
The YouTube videos that are out already are crazy.
Yeah.
And the stage is huge, mm-hmm. but they spread out. They're not just like a regular band that's real close together. The stage is so big. All the members are all spread out.
It's in the middle of the stadium. They don't put it at the end.
I wondered what that was. I couldn't tell from the pictures what they were doing.
They put it in the middle, and it's almost like a runway that's in a circle. Mm-hmm. And then part of their bit is, I think they did this for the latest tour, they have fans inside like the inner mm-hmm. circle. They call it the snake pit.
Right. Those tickets are super expensive,
but it's like a once in a lifetime experience where you're going to get like inside where the band is actually playing. So mm-hmm. I know some people are springing for those tickets. So I'm sure everybody had a great time down in Blacksburg last night.
Mm.
Well, we've ridiculous. Got more Metallica tickets to give away on the show today.
Yeah, they'll be playing Northwest Stadium in just a few weeks. That's Wednesday, May 28th. So we will be giving those away later.
You won't go to that. You won't bring both your daughters to that one and say, I'm sorry I wasn't able to be there with you to experience
no.
that.
This would have been the atmosphere, man.
And also, it's middle of the week. Like, you think he's going to stay out till midnight at Northwest Stadium?
I would have to take off the next
yeah,
day.
Yeah, you would just have to punt.
But that's what I should have done. I should have gone and taken off today.
Yeah, you probably should have.
And just gone down to the
concert.
Missed
an opportunity.
Well, speaking of, isn't that why Heavy Metal Chris is not here today?
Well, I think Heavy Metal Chris is
not because of Metallica.
I think he's in a different metal show that he took off for. Yeah, I don't know which show it is. Mm. Probably it's probably of a band that you've never heard of.
Right. So now we're down to our third board op, Ben.
Yeah,
right?
Ben is sitting.
Looks like he's 12.
Welcome to Ben.
What's up, Ben?
Yes, sir. How we doing?
How are you, buddy?
Ben, how old are you? Like 22?
I'm 21.
21, nice.
21. 20, about to graduate college, I believe?
Yep, in about 2 weeks.
Which college is this?
University of Maryland.
Ah, very, wow. very.
He's a terp.
Like him more already.
You probably had good SATs and everything, right?
I actually went test optional, thanks COVID.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if I would have got in with my test scores.
Which high school? Are you a local high school? Or?
Yeah, Quince Orchard High School.
Ah, QO. Quince
Orchard, okay. Gaithersburg kid, huh?
Absolutely.
Right. All right.
It's a MoCo guy.
All right.
All right, well, welcome.
Cool.
Do you aspire to
work in radio?
Yeah, definitely aspire to be an on-air guy. I've been doing play-by-play for the past 4 years at the university. Started to dabble in sports talk stuff this year, then ultimately joining the station here, which really cool for me because I grew up listening to this station. So it's been a great experience so far.
Well, really?
Well, best of luck to you in a dying medium, my friend.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
we wish
now,
you
if
all
you're doing
luck
play-by-play,
in the world.
Play, like is your ultimate dream play-by-play stuff or...
Yeah, that'd be like the ultimate goal, I guess, like network play-by-play, you know, doing the TV gigs, traveling across the country, calling football, basketball, or whatever. But obviously those jobs are pretty few rare. And far in between.
And any dope could do this, right? Yeah. So like, what else?
My dad is not a play-by-play broadcaster either, so I don't have that.
Yeah, that hookup would work.
But is you called games thing? At Quince Orchard?
So I didn't. That radio network actually didn't really start up until later in my junior year. That was during my lacrosse season, and then there was the COVID pandemic. And then my senior year, we didn't have any sports until the spring, and they did all the sports at once pretty much, and I was in lacrosse season then. So I went into college with no broadcasting experience. I just did school newspaper.
Yeah, because Quince Orchard's pretty cool. They have a radio network. My son's been doing play-by-play for the Quince Orchard football games. They dominate.
Right.
Yeah, nice. Dylan?
Yes.
Yeah. I've talked to him a couple of times.
Nice. Look at that.
Small world.
Yeah. I think he called one of my lacrosse games. I think that was his first game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Adam Gotkin, who started the network.
Nice. Very cool. Well, welcome. I'm sorry it's such a sad industry, but hopefully you have a nice career.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Wishing the best for you.
Yeah, I told Buresh, I mean, this was a big week for him, Chris Buresh, Heavy Metal Chris.
Yeah.
And he goes, look, I'm going to need Thursday morning off. I'm going to a concert.
Yeah.
So you're
good,
out of luck.
Pretty good Chris.
So even though it was a big That's week for good. Him, he still had his priorities in check.
We're not his top priority.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that guy needs, if there's a metal show in town, that guy's going to go.
Right.
I mean, his nickname is Heavy Metal Chris.
Right. Heavy Metal Chris, we've gone through this before. He is married with like a kid or two, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has at least one kid.
Yeah. He just doesn't strike me as a guy when you look at him that's married with kids.
A very normal life.
I've met his wife at like an Odyssey company party before.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He's a great guy.
He's super nice.
Super nice guy. But, you know, it teaches you not to judge a book by its cover, which I'm very guilty of. I pretty much always do that. I would just bet everything that he was living in some terrible apartment, you know, with just like trash everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and no chance had a wife to get. You're like a college kid. That's what I would imagine. Just wrong.
I think he lives in a great neighborhood, too.
Yeah,
I think he lives over there by the zoo.
I don't doubt it.
In a townhome or...
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
He must be freaking out those neighbors.
Good for him. Good for that guy.
He's a butt-nice guy, though.
Super nice.
All right, so welcome, Ben.
Appreciate it, guys.
Welcome to
Happy
the
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Glad to have you.
Yeah. All right, what else? Have we got anything to talk about besides the freaking Caps game and the anxiety leading up to it?
It's all Metallica and the Caps.
I came off the Cakes Classic last night.
Oh, right.
Had a good turnout. I was hanging out with Chris Farley.
Oh, nice.
A friend from Pacers.
Did he run there?
Another celebrity. He did not run there.
He drove.
But we ran once we got there. We were probably the only people that left the casino and ran across
the street. Where do you guys run to? You run over to the...
Ran in front, like, there's a waterfront near National Harbor.
Yeah,
and then we ran 3/4 of the way over the Woody Wilson Bridge, turned around, and came back.
Oh, did they have a little sectioned off area for people to walk
across?
Yeah, for
pedestrians.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, I mean, you're running, and there's a bit...
On the
one side, it's, you know, it's the Potomac.
Yeah.
It's scenic. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay? Then on the other side, it's... 10 lanes of traffic.
And you're just inhaling fumes.
Cars screaming by you.
Yeah.
And like, you're inhaling exhaust.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's weird that you're trying to do this healthy thing, but then you're just breathing in so many toxins.
I never pay attention to that. Is it a traditional route for runners, or is it mostly just
I think it's just for scant
pedestrians?
Anybody like cyclists, walkers, people on e-scooters.
Is it heavily populated with that, or is it very rare that you see people walking?
I mean, there were a dozen, 20 people that we passed doing whatever, walking or on their bikes.
I mean, I don't know about you, but when I drive that thing, I don't ever see anybody, but I'm not looking for anybody. I'm just driving. So I have no idea if there's thousands of people that walk that thing every day.
I would guess it's pretty highly populated.
Really? Interesting.
My question is, you go healthy early.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing once you finish the run and you shower, you're pounding beers afterwards.
We did meet down at the BetMGM Sportsbook, had a beer there, went to Voltaggio. I had a mixed drink there. And then we, of course, had a nightcap where we both busted out. We bought beers in the gift shop, had a drink before bed, and then I went to bed at about 12:30.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be running on fumes today. You're going to have to get a nap 100%. In for the Caps game.
100%.
Yeah.
A good drab level nap.
In fact, weren't you kind of sleep deprived before? Because I remember talking to you saying you would get a nap. What did you have the day before? Were you sleep deprived from the Caps game?
Probably, yes.
So you're definitely running on fumes. Running on fumes.
Am I sleep deprived? The answer is always yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, you're always welcome to join us on an open line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number. On the show today, we have Tim Donnelly. He's the host of The Drive with Tim Donnelly Daily on The Fan in Raleigh. So we'll get behind the enemy lines perspective on the Hurricanes, who have the 1-0 series lead against the Caps. And Warren Sharp, NFL analytics expert, is going to join us. That's coming up at 9 here on an Open Line Thursday. We'll be right back. All right, I have to tell you guys about one hand in the Cakes Classic last night. Now, this is late. This is like 11:30.
Is this a bad
right
beat story?
It's a bad beat, but not for me.
Right.
For somebody else at the table.
Right.
And it also features somebody who's a sometimes guest on this show. Not guest. That's the wrong word. He's like a P1. We goof on him a lot. Big John.
Okay.
Big John was at my table.
Big John, okay? Right.
So,
did they give him like a special chair or anything? Or no,
he's sitting in a standard chair.
Really?
Yeah. So there's three of us involved in the hand. It's me, it's Big John, and a rando, who was a nice guy, but I don't know his name.
During the hands, is he trying to crack awful jokes?
He's working. He's trying to work some of his routine. I mean,
how does it go over?
Most of it is bad. I mean, he may have made me chuckle when they were having an issue with the automatic shuffler, and he did like a Jay-Z 99 problems joke where he's like, MGM has 99 problems, and the deck isn't one, and.
Sounds like the deck was a problem.
Yeah.
Doesn't even make sense.
It's typical for Big Jeff. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. Again, I'm on very limited sleep.
All right.
So three of us are in the hand. Me, Big John, and just player X. I have pocket tens. Big John has pocket aces.
Right.
Player X has queen deuce. Mm-hmm. Okay, but he has limited on chips. Yeah. Player X.
Right.
So he's got queen deuce. So
he's got a face card. He's going to get it in.
Flop comes. This is pre-flop. Flop comes queen deuce deuce.
Oh, lordy.
He gets all his chips in. He's first to act.
Right.
Okay, he has like 30K in chips. Now, I'm kind of on fumes, too. I'm sitting there with pocket tens. The flop doesn't look that bad to me.
Yeah, it's
queen
pretty
deuce
good.
Deuce. I'm considering jamming on him, just getting my chips in.
Yeah.
But I think about it. I'm like, you could have a queen. I'll pick a better spot.
Right.
I lay my hand down. So now it's heads up between player X and Big John.
He's already got all his chips in.
Yeah, the one guy's all in.
Yeah.
Big John has pocket aces.
So he's can't like, lay that down.
Yeah. He's like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Of course, all the chips go in.
Yeah.
Turn card comes out. It's a blank.
Yeah.
What do you think it's on the river?
Two.
An ace. Ace, bang on the river.
So he's got the fully.
Yeah.
Big John erupts like a volcano. Right. He goes, yeah!
He hit a two-outer.
This one guy's the worst moment of his evening, and then Big John is celebrating like he won the freaking Super Bowl.
Did the other guy want to kill him?
No, the other guy took it well. He was fine. He handled it with class. Big John could have just accepted, you know, his miracle card and scooped all the chips, but he had to cause this huge scene. I mean, you literally could have heard him screaming at the other end of the poker room at MGM,
right,
which is a large poker room. It's pretty cavernous. Yeah. There's a lot of space in there.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of an uncomfortable moment, but
it's funny. It reminds me of, for whatever reason, that reminds me of in my younger years. Remember, we went out to Vegas one year, and I think Cakes was with me when I got thrown out of the MGM. I was probably literally 20 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and I simply just, this Asian guy across just beat me, whatever, and he was just celebrating too much.
Yeah.
And I just looked
at him.
That
would piss me off.
It pissed me off. Yeah. And I was younger and dumber. And I told him to F off.
Yeah.
And then he started to, F you.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood up. He had this black, I'll never forget, he had a black leather coat. And in that instant, I thought, you know, he's just some little guy. But, I mean, who knows? He could have a freaking gun. Like, who knows?
Yeah,
like,
you don't know.
Who knows what he, I mean, I might have just bitten off more than I could chew right here.
True. But he was being disrespectful.
He
won a big pot. Then he's like, ship your chips.
Ship your chips.
It's just like, it's just an unnecessary needle.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
In a high tension situation.
Right. And I didn't handle it well. And I told him, F you. And I was ready to, you know, let's go. I'm ready to throw hands a little bit. But then as he stood up with that black leather coat,
mm-hmm,
I thought, man, that probably wasn't a smart move.
Yeah. Maybe I just better to leave at this
point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I was told to leave.
Right.
I was told to leave.
Well, that can happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, tempers flare in the poker room.
But that would piss me off, though.
I mean, you're right. You remember that better than I do. He said, ship your chips.
Ship your chips. Like,
yeah, like really needling me.
Not in like a fun, like lighthearted way.
No. Like in a jerk way.
Yeah.
And I just didn't handle it well.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Tempers were flaring.
I didn't handle that well.
How many players did you guys have?
It was 66 last night.
It's good.
Yeah.
So, did John make any money?
I don't know.
So he won that hand?
He was still playing, right?
He was still playing when I went to bed.
Yeah.
When I was telling everybody, good luck. Thanks for coming out. See you next month. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Big John still with chips.
Does it what still feel do? Like a walk of shame when you bust out or not anymore?
You busted out
so many times.
I bust out so many times. And like I got my chips in with a good hand. Like,
yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah,
what
but
are you
no one
do?
Knows that. But yeah, you know that.
I know it. As long as I know that my process is good and I'm getting my cards in straight, I can't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. I think the top prize last night in the Cakes Classic was right around 5K. Mm. So it's, you know,
be nice.
That's a nice score.
I could use it.
$5,000.
5K is a nice score.
Yeah.
So we have a guy that listens to this show. His name's Ryan Spader.
Right.
I think we might have had him on as a guest. Maybe
he's
once,
a baseball.
He's a baseball writer.
He's a baseball
statistician. Yeah. Yeah. Remember, he made a big storm, S storm online. He's done it more than once, I think. Remember, he was alleging that more than the Astros are cheating, and he had proof and all this stuff. And then of baseball came down on him, and he had to retract it.
Right, he apologized.
But I don't doubt that he had the info, but he just got a little full of himself there.
And he went public, via social media on that?
Yeah, I think just via Twitter. Yeah, just say, trust me, this is the tip of the iceberg, essentially.
Right.
A lot of other teams
basically accusing all of Major League Baseball of cheating.
Cheating, right.
Yeah, right.
And it did go great for a guy who, you know, I think kind of fancies himself in that community. Certainly is.
Yeah, he's a gambler.
Well, he's a gambler, and that's what we want to talk about, is that he came up with something he's entitled the Project 186 Parlay.
He's a very, I think, very mathy guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very analytical.
He's a smart kid.
Yeah, definitely smart.
Yeah.
So last night, he came up with a 15-leg parlay.
Oh, Lord.
For his Project 186 Parlay. And I believe he tweets it out to, like, people that follow him, and or I don't know if it's part of, like, a paid service. I'm not sure exactly.
He has a Discord. And I'm pretty sure they do it every day.
Okay.
And they pick every game on the MLB slate, and the goal is one day to hit them all.
Right.
So he's only betting baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it's
so he didn't sprinkle an NBA or any
No.
I'm sorry. I need to know details like this. How my brain works. Why is it called Project 186?
That
parlay?
I don't know. Maybe Drab can give you some insight.
I don't know.
Okay.
I should know that. But
I'm sure he'll hear this segment and then he'll respond at some point.
And talk about bad beats, but go ahead.
So last night he put together a 15-leg parlay. Okay. With a bonus bet. He didn't even go into his own pocket. This is just a bonus bet on, this appears to be, FanDuel.
The 36, okay? Was it, how much did he put down?
He put down a $40 bonus bet.
Right.
Okay, and this parlay was paying out at +365,928.
Right.
Just
okay,
absurd.
Just an absurd number.
Yeah.
Okay. A $40 wager was going to pay, if it hit, $146,000, right. $371.38.
And he could have cashed out, too.
They hit the first 14 of 15.
Oh,
14
my God.
Of 15 hit picks hit.
Wow.
FanDuel offered him a cash out of $88,149.51.
I mean, I get it.
And Ryan Spader did this. He said, took his finger like Dikembe and said, no.
I get it.
I'm playing for the whole thing.
That'd be hard.
Okay,
to turn down.
So what time was it when they offered him the buyout?
It was late. I was following it. It had to have been 11 o'clock, after 11 o'clock, because when I finally went to bed around 11:20, it was still on. It was the Blue Jays Angels game was
right,
the last game.
Last game.
Yeah,
so he had hit the Tiger game against the Rockies.
Yeah.
And obviously that was a later game.
I don't know how the game disintegrated. Is it a heartbreaker even within the game? Even within the game it is.
Oh yeah.
So I'm wondering, could you scramble and cash out mid?
Bring up the box score.
Mid-inning?
Type in Blue Jays Angels.
The Angels scored 3 in the bottom of the ninth.
Oh, my God.
So the And so Toronto's up 4-2 in the ninth. They bring in their closer, Jeff Hoffman, and he allows 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth. And that's a big fat lose. The Angels come back and win 5-4. So he could have cashed out for 88K.
I mean,
but he said, F it, I'm going for the one, what'd you say it was?
147.
How do you not light your house on fire after that?
Well,
like, how do you not just lash out?
I mean, not to get into his pockets. It just tells me that he's just already rich.
He turned down the 88,000?
Yeah.
That's just my personal take on it. I don't know.
I think he's...
Sometimes people just make bad decisions, dude.
That could be the case, too.
I'm pretty sure Neil Greenberg is the same way. They believe...
They're purists.
You don't make the bet if you're planning on cashing out.
Right.
So...
Yeah. I'm not that pure.
I've
cashed out on FanDuel for, trust me, way less than that amount.
I bet it felt pretty good.
And it was the right decision.
Yeah.
Now, that was a cash out for probably $40. This one would have been for $88,000.
If the point of gambling is to make money on your wager, why not take that crazy payout.
Because you want more. You're greedy.
I mean, unless you just don't need it.
The point of gambling
is to make money on your wager.
Correct.
Why not take that? Anything can happen. I mean, the odds of hitting a 15 gamer are a billion to one.
I think some of those big time gamblers, it's obviously a personal thing, but some of those big time gamblers that I follow, or they stumble into my algorithm sometimes, they will cash out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they put maybe 100,000 on a three legger and two or whatever. It's just safe. F it. It's a little too dicey.
I would think that the payout was even higher than 88,000 at one point. If you have a 2-run lead in the ninth inning.
Oh, yeah, and, you're probably right. It's probably
it might
like
120.
120.
Yeah, but let's put yourself in your shoes. What was it before the game started, I wonder? What was the cash out?
Oh.
Before the game started.
Well, I don't know about before the game started, but an hour or two, because the other games were all finishing.
Right, as they finished, he still had one left.
It went to like 20. I saw it go from 5,000 to 20,000 to 40,000 and then 88,000.
Oh, my God.
It probably wasn't, as high as you think, because the Tigers-Rockies game, it's not like the Tigers were up 10 runs because they were losing Tigers, I believe, were losing 5-3 at one point. Mm-hmm. So maybe the payout was much smaller than you think.
God.
But then the Tigers scored 2 in the top of the 10th to win.
So he got hooked there.
Yeah.
But honestly, so how long has Ryan been doing this? How long has he been doing this?
I think he's been doing this for at least a couple of years.
So a couple of years, and he's never hit a 15-gamer before? I would assume never. I mean, how hard is it to hit?
Guessing this probably is the closest.
They've never hit the 186 parlay,
and we don't know what that means. But if 186 means 15 game essentially, or whatever the.
Again, I don't know why. Yeah, but they bet on every game. I'm pretty sure they bet on every game on the slate every day.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so he's been doing this for several years.
Yeah.
So thousands of games, but let's say 400, 300 some nights.
I don't think it's all, they're not losing every single night. I think they're placing side bets and they're doing all kinds of stuff.
I'm not suggesting that they're losing. Yeah. I'm just saying how hard it is to hit that.
Yeah.
Like, this is it.
Well, look at the odds.
This was his moment.
Right.
This is his moment. It's but you're almost like setting yourself up to fail when you do these 15-game parlays.
Well, maybe he thought at the time, it's going to be a great story either way. I'm either going to make a ton of money on a $45 wager and mm-hmm. hit a 15-gamer, or it's going to be the worst beat in history.
Yeah,
so either way, it's going to be a great story.
We're talking about it.
Yeah. We would have talked about it either way.
Right.
So maybe that's the way you thought. But that is, I wouldn't sleep for days.
No, I would be catatonic.
But
I wouldn't respond to you. Yeah. Like, you'd talk to me, I would just stare off into the void. There's nothing I could do.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the fact that it all unraveled in the bottom of the ninth. You get to the bottom of the ninth, you feel like you're about to pop some bottles.
So hold on. As it's occurring, is he going live?
That I don't know.
Like, is he going live? Does he go live like on his Instagram or his Discord or whatever? And they're all like sweating together.
Yeah. They said the Discord was going nuts. Yeah.
So I always heard of Discord, but I've never been on it. Is it like Telegram essentially?
Similar. It's like your own niche group.
And then
a lot of them are paid.
Yeah. So okay. So you have like your own little channel.
There's Wall Street Discords.
I understand the idea behind it. I've just never been on it. Can you? And then they have like a live video features. Like you could group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Group Zoom stuff.
Yeah. Like my brothers and I, we have a room and we get on there and
like a family Discord.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, whatever.
Gotcha.
All right. Got to take a break, but you're welcome to call us throughout the show.
That's an open line.
Open line Thursday, 800-636-1067.
I want to hear a big jerk when he wants to
hear. I want to hear from Big John. But if there's any, and this is probably a long shot, but if anybody was at the Metallica concert last night in Blacksburg and you're back up in town, mm-hmm. give us a call. I want to hear about it.
Yeah. We want to hear your experience down at Lane Stadium. If you saw Metallica as they rolled through to play Enter Sandman live in Blacksburg, 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next. On an open line Thursday. You're always welcome to text us as well as call us. And the text line is brought to you by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. Text us at 1 800 636 106.7 standard message and data charges may apply. 800-636-1067 is the number on an open line Thursday.
I tell you, open line Thursday is being revitalized.
Putting the paddles to it?
Yep.
People are
responding.
They're feeling it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right, let's go to Big John. I want to lead off with him since he was at the Cakes Classic last night and had the rude outburst with his big pot win.
Just wamboozled a guy.
How did you do? Were you able to cash, John?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I made it.
Hold on. Your phone.
Hold on. See what's going on. Your phone. Call him back or something.
Your phone, like your comedy. Very subpar.
Yeah. I mean, how could it be so garbled? Are you eating the phone? Yeah, but I mean, really bad. Is he one of the guys that's notorious for a bad phone every time he calls?
I don't think so. Generally, his phone, I think, is decent. I'll put it in the decent range.
Decent?
It's not great, but it's usually not that terrible.
Yeah. All right. He called back. Let's go to Peter Burke. Peter, what's up, buddy?
Look at the junkies just punting their ratings bonus right into the sun by going to Big John and Cooper Burke back to back.
Yeah, we need to go find that bonus.
Good point.
What's up?
As the deputy associate show historian, I got a couple quick milestones to recognize. Of course, happy birthday to EB and Jason this year, turning the Sammy Hagar. And
55.
Cakes and Amy celebrating their Pearl anniversary, of course, and Chunky's heading in that direction next year.
What is the Pearl?
30 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
you
you're
know,
doing a yearly bit. Like
we did have a discussion about the Pearl anniversary.
I remember it for a second, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's a little yip. So, Mayor Mira Bowser gets a lot of run on the show. She kept the Caps and Wiz downtown. She's bringing the skins to RFK. But she took office on January 2nd, 2015, and a scant 4 months later, she made good on her first campaign promise. You guys remember what that was?
No. She brought us to D.C.?
No. She was bringing the junkies to D.C. So today, I know JP's been saying 7-8 years. Time flies when you're having fun. 10 years ago today, y'all were accosted by a wacky T1 with signs there.
Oh,
down
wow.
At
the, this is wow, 10-year anniversary of Peter being outside the building? Wow.
Can't believe you're
10
that.
Years of paying for parking.
10 years of being in this hellhole.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a beautiful studio. Just a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the butt to get here.
Yeah. All right. What else, bud? So, that's it?
So I just want to say, well, you know, speaking of the Cakes Classic, it seems like a structural flaw that Cakes is the bus driver on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He's always... dragging in after the late Wednesday nights.
What are you going to do?
That's all right.
It's all good.
He sounds fine.
I'm a trooper. I'll have five cups of coffee and I'll be good.
Yep.
I'll soldier on. It's the way it works.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. I actually do appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
10 years. I'll quit saying 7 or 8 years. We've now been here 10 years.
I can't believe we've been here for 10 years.
Oh. Dude, it's almost
we've been
over,
in this
man.
Studio prison where we can't see one shred of outside light. Hmm. God, it's tilting.
I miss that. I mean, love the windows. I love them.
I mean, I have to peel back this whatever right. This is called.
So we have two big windows if you're not watching it, but we have to like cover
a
them for TV.
Drape. I don't even know what it's called.
Curtain.
I can't see out the window. I might as well be broadcasting from a prison cell.
Yeah. So we have like these curtains. They say like monumental.
Sure.
You know, 106.7 The Fan, whatever. But
they look good.
Yeah, they look great, and it's cool. But you feel like you're in a dungeon.
Correct.
All right, let's go. You want to try Big John again? Let's try one more time. Big John.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's much better. That's
unfortunately,
better.
Much better.
Big, bad
so
John.
Were you able to cash, first off?
Yeah, I made the final table, finished eighth.
All right.
A cool 500 and change in my pocket.
Nice.
And about four bounties.
Nice.
Nice
all right.
Job.
Very good. That's a profit. I mean,
each bounty is
50
bucks
a piece unless you knock me
How
out.
How was right. Cakes behaved when you guys were at the same table?
Oh, well, I know that Cakes is all business at the poker table, so I was pretty quiet most of the night with him next to me, and, you know, except for that one outburst, I kept the business like pretty much
right.
The whole
Only
night.
Only one great zing.
Did you feel bad? Or you like afterwards?
Well, look, it was an involuntary wow that I shouted to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that was over, I was back to, being Clark Kent. I was just quiet after that. You know, I didn't
No bad
you don't look anything like Clark Kent.
Right.
Sorry to say. J- John, can I give you one small piece of poker advice? This is something I noticed when I was, because I was sitting to
Let
John's.
Let me guess, he has sloppy chips.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, instead, most people, like, if they have a lot of chips, they build them up like a little tower in front of them.
Right.
John spreads his out.
Well, that's exactly what I said. Okay? Sloppy.
Like, yeah. But it's orderly.
Somewhat
but
orderly.
But they're spread out, which is kind of weird. But that's not what I wanted to talk about.
Well, you tighten up your stack.
And this is more of a visual thing if you're watching on Monumental.
Yeah.
Like, most poker players, when they get their hole cards, okay, they keep them down close.
Right.
They peel them up a little bit. They're trying to conceal what their cards are.
Oh, is he lifting his up so the whole world can see?
John lifts his cards up like he's got them up here, like up near his.
What are you doing, John?
Like he's doing this.
But doesn't the dealer always say cards down?
I mean, the dealer didn't say anything. But I'm sitting directly to his left. I'm seeing all
you can
of his
see
cards,
everything. Right?
And I didn't bring it up to him because I didn't want to embarrass him in front of the table. Now I'm embarrassing him in front of the entire DC
area. This is better though, because
he needs to know this going forward.
What are you doing,
John?
You got
to protect your cards, man.
What are you doing?
Before Cakes got to our table, the guy on my left pointed that out to me, and I don't know. It's just I lift them up to look at them. I don't peel them off the felt.
Yeah, but you're exposing your cards to everyone, obviously.
Why are you gentling him? He outlasted you guys.
No, he's obviously
outplayed you.
No, he's obviously a good player. That's fine. But it's going to hurt you. And it hurts the integrity of the game, frankly.
Because if you're showing somebody else, that gives them an advantage. Because at least two of the other players at the table are going to be able to see it.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm trying to just help him going forward.
No, you're actually protecting the field.
Right.
Look, it was a leak, and I'm going to try to correct it in the future. But
I mean, how dumb is that? You've obviously played poker enough. Like, literally, I question your intelligence.
Listen, E.B., I can understand why that guy pulled a knife on you now.
He did not pull a knife. That's how stupid you are. It was a hypothetical, potentially, could happen.
Well,
why would you do that, John? Why would you do that? You know better.
All right. Well, mea culpa. I mean, what do you want from me?
I
don't know. It just seems so dumb.
I want
dumb.
You to protect your cards.
Has anybody else?
It was the first time you played cards, but clearly you've played cards before. You know better.
Has anybody else at a table ever said that to you?
Well, yeah. The guy before Cakes sat next to me. Yeah, he said, hey, keep your cards down. And I tried to. But Cakes was also...
Yeah.
Cakes was missing the big scandal of the night. There was a guy who claimed that some other player spit on him.
Oh, that
and he
is
was
true. Yeah, the guy. It was a big scene in the poker room last night.
Ooh.
A guy claimed that he was walking to the bathroom and that some other player just spit on him, like, all on the side of his face, like, walking through the hallway.
Wow.
And security got involved. They were trying to track down the guy.
It was
a little bit of a scene last night in the poker room. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. But he didn't keep his cards up, though, so, you know, what are you going to do?
You know what? That's actually a good way to go out. John, thank you for coming out.
All right, John.
Congrats on the cash.
No, you don't understand. What you're describing is like the biggest newbie move ever.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like not something that anybody that's played poker for more than 10 minutes does.
Yeah.
He's clearly played more poker than that.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
And so it's infuriating. It's just making me crazy.
I can tell.
Look at
how he's affected
because
by it.
Because he has his cards up here.
I know.
They should be down here.
So, yeah. So not,
not
only is
here.
It stupid.
Is it? It's one thing if you just can't see them that far down. I mean, it's not that they're that far down on the table.
Right.
But that's not why he brings them up here, so he can see them better, right?
All it is a
probably. Just,
it's a breach of the most basic poker etiquette that's out there.
Jason?
Maybe he's just got terrible vision.
It's infuriating. I'm not even in the game, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm livid. You're telling me that because he was even warned, and he kept.
I know, and I was wrestling with myself. I was like, should I tell him? Like, I can see all of his cards, and yeah, it affects the game.
It affects everyone.
It affects the.
First of all, you feel terrible that you're seeing this guy's cards, and you don't know what to say, and like, you know, probably should say, and Ollie, she probably should say, hey, I can see your cards,
right,
dude.
Right. Like, protect your cards.
Yeah, because now you know something that other people don't know.
Right. I have info that other people don't have.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Eric in Silver Spring. Eric, what's up?
Gentlemen.
Hey.
What's up?
Talk the guy Big John. Is he a big guy? Because I have a friend, we call him Skinny.
Yeah.
but he's actually like 450 pounds.
Exactly, that's exactly who he is.
Yeah, Big John's not skinny.
Yeah, he's tiny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Listen to your story about the car that brings me thinking about the part of the casino, the scene in the casino where the guy was making sure that his friend could see his cards behind him.
Yeah.
And they got hit with the cattle prop.
Yeah.
I might keep thinking. So I was thinking about you, listening to that bad beat.
Yeah.
And I was telling the guy to answer the phone, why is it always the last game you're waiting for to hit?
Oh, in a parlay?
Because when it happens earlier,
it's not
you don't
a big
pay
deal.
Attention. Yeah.
If you lose the third game, it's not a big deal.
It doesn't build the hype.
Yeah. But it's the and if you only bet $40, why wouldn't you take a cash out for $80,000?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's stubbornness.
No sense.
Yeah.
That was probably fleeting. That was probably literally between pitches or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty fleeting.
Where it got to that number, I don't know.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, and I watched the game last night, and when I turned it off, it was 4-2. And then to hear that they came back and won, I'm like, I mean, I get mad if a bad beat, if I lose $100. Mm-hmm. $80,000?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. I'm cutting off my phone. No, I'm not talking to no one.
But you know what? The healthy way to look at it is you never had the 80. You never had that money.
It's a paper loss.
It's not lost money. It's just money that you could have had that you just didn't. You didn't act on.
Yeah.
Now, I would never think that way because I would think it was lost money.
It would affect me.
I'm just putting it out there the right way to kind of approach it.
Right. To try not to kill yourself.
You know the nerd at FanDuel was sitting there saying, please don't cash out.
I think FanDuel's doing okay. I think they're fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about FanDuel's bottom line. They're doing great.
So, Eric, are you a big gambler? Like, do you like to throw cash?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I'm that guy that was going out to Vegas just to do bets, just to make sports bets.
Oh, wow. DJ.
So, are you living in some terrible apartment in Silver Spring or something, or what?
No.
Oh, so you haven't lost your fortune gambling?
No. I haven't. You know what I hate is when FanDuel shows you how much you've lost and how much you spent. I hate when I see that.
You hate the summaries?
What? Give us your numbers. Summary.
Yes, man. I'm like, man, when you see it and you're like, wait a minute, I bet $12,000 in 3 months? You're like, wait a minute, how?
Right. Jason, you showed us that one time on your baseball bets, right? Wasn't it and it was really bizarrely even?
Yeah. In wagers and money won?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Eric, you might need to look at that number at the bottom of the screen, that 1-800-GAMBLER number. Those numbers keep ticking upwards, my friend.
Hey, believe me, I would be the president, the treasurer, and the vice president of Gamble Anonymous because I do lottery. I mean, I do daily numbers.
I can tell you're like a Keno guy. You're like everything, right?
No. I don't understand Keno.
Oh.
And I was listening to y'all talk about poker. I might get into poker because you're the guys that got me to watching White Lotus. I would have never thought I would watch show
Let's
like that.
Let's get you in the Cakes Classic next month, my friend. Let's go.
And what other terrible things have we gotten you into?
Yeah, what have we influenced you to watch or do?
No, that was it. The White Lotus part, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that at all, watching that show. That show was off the chain. Because I remember you had the guy come in. I don't know.
Right.
The guy's a local
Bernad.
Guy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let me check this show out. And I'm like, man, I felt like I was watching like I was had it, taking an edible and I'm watching this show. Like, what the hell is going on?
Right. It's hilarious.
But it's good.
Hey, dude, you got to go to a Cakes Classic then.
You know what? I heard you say the MGM and all. I wouldn't mind coming up there and meeting you guys, but I don't understand a lick. And then the guy holding up his hand, I'm like, when I watched poker on ESPN when it used to come on, you barely could see the guy was barely show his cards. So I'm like, why are we having him in the air?
That's the right way to do it.
Because I'm telling you, Big John's IQ must be spectacularly low.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm like,
wasn't he a speechwriter?
Also,
Eric, we got to run, man. We're up against it, man. We appreciate the call.
Thank you, Eric.
Hopefully see you out at MGM sometime soon.
So, Eric, I've been on FanDuel since January 1, 2021.
Yeah.
I've wagered 60. This is not a big number for over 4 years, but this is just crazy. I've gambled $66,290.
Right.
And I've won $66,361.
So you're up.
I'm up $71.
Yeah, let's go.
That's pretty good.
Over 4 years.
Let's make it happen.
So you bet about $16,000-$17,000 a year.
If that's what it comes out to be, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not even that high. I'm surprised it's that high.
Right.
All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. How are Caps fans feeling today heading into Game 2? Caps Canes tonight at 7 p.m. Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you confident? 800-636-1067. We'll take your pulse on Caps Game 2 next here on The Fan.